Thank you, everyone. Please buckle your seatbelts. Or make yourself comfortable, whichever might be more appropriate for you. C.S. Lewis once wrote this: "We need others physically, emotionally, intellectually. We need them if we are to know anything, even ourselves." It is with deep appreciation that I'm back this morning. I report, as Sally did, that Joe Fort and I not only survived our never stopping journey in Uganda and Kenya, but your support and encouragement of us made a difference in the lives of many people, and I am profoundly grateful. I am also grateful for Sally and for Janelle and for the rest of our church staff and leadership team. In case you aren't aware, the quality of people that I get to work with on a day-to-day basis is extraordinary, and I leave in full confidence and assurance that whatever it is that needs to happen while I'm gone is being done with excellence. Janelle isn't here, but Sally, thank you so much for all that you do to make that happen. And if anybody else in the room doesn't feel appreciated today, see me after. I'll take care of you. I promise I will. I'm grateful for this church family and community. We're going to spend three of the next four Sundays talking about everybody's favorite subject. We're going to talk about stewardship. Now, yes, eventually, we are going to talk about money. But we aren't really going to talk about money. What we're really going to talk about is that stewardship is so, so, so much more. Pray with me. I'm going to read to you from Romans, and then we'll get into this thing. You ready? All right. Lord Jesus, thank you for a safe return home. And though I'm still four time zones behind, I'm feeling better every day. I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve and to serve in this place. I pray that as we consider this question of stewardship, in particular today's, speak to us. Let us hear. Let us know. Let us understand. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We are stewards of each other, of our relationships, of our community together. We are not on this journey alone. We are on this journey together. Christianity, the faith, was never intended to be an experience to be lived in isolation. In fact, from the earliest days of Jesus till today, the first thing that new believers all find themselves doing is organizing themselves into communities, into families, into small groups, into larger groups, into places where they can gather and be strengthened and encouraged. We are in this together. So I'm going to read to you two passages from Paul's letter to the Romans, one from chapter 12, verse 14, and then I'm just moving right over to the next column, at least in my Bible, and we'll read to you from chapter 13, verse 8. Listen and see if you don't hear what I'm talking about. He says this: "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty." That's a fun word to say, isn't it? You just say haughty with me. Say haughty. I know. That's... Sorry. I'm going to turn into Netta here in a second and just start giggling and running up and down the aisle. That'll be fun. "Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are." "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all." I like noble. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. And then over to chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love fulfills the law. Amen? Amen. Stewardship is living with a basic understanding. Here's the understanding. All that I am, all that I have, and all that I dream of being is a gift from God. The things in my life, the time I have, the talent I have, the experience I have, the education I have, the people that surround my life are gifts from God. So, guess what? You are all God's gift to men and women everywhere. Isn't that a great thing? I was going to say, you got to balance that out, Sally. Sally, stop it. Living out that basic understanding. So the resources, the story, the time, the talent, the people, these are gifts that God has given to me, but are also gifts that God gives through me. I am, as you are, we are conduits of God's grace to the world. Basic stewardship recognizes that everything in my life is not just there for me, but is there for me to care for, to be a steward of, to protect, and to properly, as the case may be, distribute. I am a conduit of God's grace, a channel, if you will, and so are you. Aren't you? Smile and say yes. Now the other half of you, smile and say yes. Good. As I said, we're gonna talk about money in 4 weeks, four Sundays from now. And it's important to talk about it because, mammon, money, is still the number one idol and god in our culture. And oftentimes I'll say that and people will think, well, you know, that's a modern problem. But it really isn't. In the first century, they had the same problems we do and the same struggles we do. In fact, when you look at the Bible, it's kind of fun to do. You get out a concordance. A concordance has got every word ever listed in the Bible and how many times and where you can find it. So you pull it out and you look up the word believe or belief. And you'll find that there are 272 verses in the Bible that deal with believing. It's pretty good. If you look up prayer, you'll find that there are 371 verses on prayer. More than believing, but not amazing. You'll find that there are 714 verses about love. That's pretty good. 714 verses about love. And you'll find that there are 2,162 verses that deal with the appropriate use of resources, with giving, gifts, and so forth. Now, if you were paying attention, where are my engineers and math wizards? That would be 3 times more than love, 7 times more than prayer, and 8 times more than believing. However, stewardship is not just money or budget or what the church thinks it might need to pay its bills. I am a steward of myself. Think about that. Your very body, your mind, your soul is a gift from God. And you are a steward of that gift. You are called by God to properly care for it, to keep learning, to keep growing, to make sure you nourish it appropriately and get it regular exercise and all that stuff. I am a steward of myself. I am a steward of my family. Right? I have a responsibility to care for my wife and make sure she has, well, and she's caring for me too, so it's kind of a little mutual thing going on, but, you know, to care for my aging parents, to care for the people, the family in my life. I am, as are you, we are stewards of this planet. How are we doing with that one? Yeah, not so good, right? But we are. God created people. He sent them out there and he said, have dominion, which means quite literally, all right, you're in charge now. Take good care of it. So if the world is a mess, guess whose fault it is? Go ahead, raise your hand. It's us. We've met the enemy, and it is us, right? We're to be stewards of the earth. We are to be stewards of our education and our experience. We are to be stewards of the stories of our lives, the encounters that we've had with God, because when we share those stories with others, it may well help them see that their encounter with God is deeper than they ever imagined, or will challenge them to consider that there's more to this life than what they've already seen. The big question always remains, what will I do with the blessings God has poured into my life? I am blessed beyond description. When I come back from these journeys, this is my ninth journey into Africa, and every single time I go and then come back, I come back with the same profound awareness, right? One, that I may well be the luckiest human being on the planet. That I get to do what I get to do. I get to do that here. I get to do that in Mombasa and Chichusa and a whole bunch of other places I can't pronounce on a regular basis. I get to do it with people who look like me and with people who look completely different. I get to do this with people who sound like me when I talk and people who have these wonderful little sing-songy voices that sound completely different than me. I'm profoundly, profoundly blessed. I'm blessed when I go. And I'm really blessed when I come back. The number of you that have been praying for me and just quickly came up this morning and said, it's so nice to see you back, reminds me of just how deeply lucky I am. I am blessed to be surrounded by Christian community, by all of you. And that with you, I am blessed over and over and over again. All right, so let's talk. When you hear something funny, you know, not one of my jokes, but a funny one. When you hear something funny, something that makes you smile, you see a picture on the internet that makes you laugh, what's the first thing you do? And then what? Come on, we all do the same thing. You immediately tell somebody else. Don't you? Yeah, my dad texts me right away. He hears a new joke and my phone goes bzzz because, you know, dad's heard a new joke. And the very first thing he does is he's got to tell me, and then he tells others, and of course he posts it on Facebook because, you know, dad's tech literate. But the first thing that happens when something that makes you smile or something that makes you laugh comes to you, you tell somebody, right? When you got good news, the grandbaby, the new baby, the promotion you've been waiting for, you're finally getting to retire, you're finally doing whatever, some big, great, amazing thing has happened, what's the first thing you do? Come on. You tell somebody. You have to tell somebody. You're bursting inside. You have to tell somebody so bad. Right? What happens when something sad happens? Somebody you care about has died. Something hasn't worked out. Somebody's gotten suddenly ill. There's a tragedy somewhere in your world or near your world. What's the first thing you do? After you sit down and have a good cry about it, what do you do?
You stand there till winter.
Stand there till winter. That may be a long stand. You tell somebody, don't you? A burden shared is a burden eased. We understand that. Now, some of us are hardwired to, you know, be the strong, silent, I can handle this myself type, and that doesn't usually work out all that well. Our first and natural instinct is to unburden and is to share with others. Yes? Because that's what it means to be stewards of each other. Jesus says when somebody rejoices, we celebrate with them. When somebody grieves, we sit down in the dust and cry with them. When someone has got great news, then we embrace that great news. And when they tell us a bad joke, we laugh anyway because that's polite. Thank you. Yeah, I'm appreciating your polite response there. Yeah. Churches are supposed to be places where we are, in fact, stewards of one another. It is why Jesus started the church, that there would be a place where we would be challenged to do better, a place where we would be encouraged when it's not going so well, a place where we would be lifted up when we're down, and a place where we could rejoice together and sing together and pray together and work together. And if you haven't figured it out, the common word in all these expressions is together. You want to do an interesting study of the New Testament. Look up how many times the New Testament uses the words one another. Build one another up, pray for one another, encourage one another, and on and on and on it goes. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of them. And those are all descriptions of what the church community is, that we are here and we are stewards of one another. All too often through the history, the 2,000-year history of the Christian church, the church thinks sometimes it's supposed to behave like an institution or a self-help organization or a community development organization. These things aren't in and of themselves necessarily bad. But when we lose sight of the fact that we are here for each other, and that when any of us are hurting, we come alongside, and when any of us are rejoicing, we celebrate, and when any of us are struggling, we come together to help one another when we do that. We are, in fact, in a relationship on a journey of faith. That is, a community of Christians. We are the ones who love Jesus, or would like to, or might want to someday. We are the ones who've accepted God's grace, or need it, or might someday decide we could do that. We are the ones who choose community or need community or want community or aren't even aware that community is something we ought to be a part of. We are a gathering of people on a journey of faith, trying to be a community of Christ. You all right? And so Paul says, be in harmony. Hang out with the lowly. I have no idea who they are. Who are the lowly? Am I the lowly? Are you the lowly? Who are the... I mean, we use odd expressions. You know, an expression I've decided to give up on are the less fortunate. I have no idea what that means anymore. I know I'm more fortunate, but what's less? Anybody? Tell me after if you've got a good definition of that. That we are to associate with the lowly. To not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. That's another expression Paul uses. Don't think you are wiser than you really are. If you think you're Mr. or Ms. Smarty Pants, then, you know, stop that and relax and take a step back and take a deep breath. And don't do that. He says to be noble. Not a word we don't hear anymore. Do you hear the word noble anymore? It's one you just don't run into. I think most of us have a sense of what nobility might look like, might feel like. To be noble. To focus on the things that are good and lovely and trustworthy and positive and healthful and healing and encouraging and community building. To be noble. To live at peace. I like that Paul's a realist. You notice the phrase? So long as it's up to you, live at peace with everybody. If somebody decides to hate me, I can't do anything about it, can I? What I can do is control my responses to that and not hate in return. To owe no one anything except love. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. Love, love, love fulfills the commandments. We are stewards of each other. But I've discovered some things. We're fragile. Most of us bruise pretty easily. Some of us wound easier than others. We're fragile. And in our fragility, we need community, family, encouragement, love, support, and grace more than ever. I have my fragile days. I know most of you don't believe that because, you know, I generally face the world with a lot of bluster, but there it is. We are fragile. Sometimes we find ourselves disagreeing with each other. Not us, of course. We all get along and believe exactly the same things. Right? Yeah, okay, not. But we disagree sometimes. And things that profoundly disturb me these days. One is the political discourse in the country where there's no dignity, there's no grace, there's no discourse. It's just loud noises, yelling, and people being negative. In our national church right now, some of that same thing is going on. And it's profoundly disturbing. Because what happens when we start that yelling at one another rather than in discourse is that the fabric of who we are called to be begins to tear. As I understand Paul and as I understand being stewards of one another, one of the things it profoundly means, is that I can disagree with you and I can disagree with you with great, great energy, but I am never permitted to destroy our relationship. All right? We're going to disagree and we're going to have at it and disagree with great energy, and then when it's done, we're going to go have a cup of coffee together. We're going to leave together because we are stewards of one another. And we will set the disagreement aside. Whoever wins, whoever loses, doesn't really matter, but we will set that aside from our conversation, and we'll get back to one anothering, taking care of each other, encouraging one another, challenging one another, living with one another. I'm concerned nationally for what's been going on. Maybe that's why I thought I'd preach on this today, because we need to talk about that. I'm fragile, so are you. And yet we are stewards of one another on a journey together. And it's messy sometimes. All right? You okay? Those of you with children, it gets really messy sometimes, doesn't it? Those of us who would like to be children, it gets really messy sometimes, doesn't it? The grandkids come over and they trash the house. I know they do because I see it happen at my mom's house all the time. Right? It gets messy sometimes, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's inconvenient. And I realize that being a stewards of one another, and being stewards of the relationships with one another, that there are days when I'm just not very nice. And there are days when I actually wrote that down. Some days when I can be pretty obnoxious. I know you don't believe that. Smile and tell me you don't believe that. Sally knows better. The rest of you probably don't. That I can forget stuff that I promised to do. Who knew I could do that? And I'm guessing there are days when you're not very nice either. Come on. And there are days when, you know, it's just not going well today. And I realize that I'm in control of my own attitude. You all right? So are you. You know, when people say to me, you know, they're grumping at me, they say, well, I got out of the wrong side of bed today. I look at them square in the eye and I say, good, go back to bed. Get up on the right side, face your day. I mean, you choose the attitude with which you're going to live. We belong to each other. And so when we're having our ups and our downs, you know, there are those days when, you know, you just want to lock yourself up and not really deal with the rest of the world. My wife calls these, in my life, Karen calls them my Terminator days, because that seems to be the kind of film I go rent when I'm really down and need to just lock myself in my TV room and turn my phone off and watch Terminator movies. You know, sort of a dystopic future where a lot of stuff gets blown up. It's just great. It's very therapeutic. Now, it might be chocolate and chick flicks for you. I don't know, you know, but you got to do what you got to do. I got to do what I got to do. But we all have those days. But we don't stay in isolation for long. Sometimes you back away. But we belong to each other. And we are stewards of each other. So when there's laughter, we laugh together. When there's sorrow, we cry together. When there's sacrifice, we sacrifice together. We do it together. I am responsible. You are responsible. We are responsible for one another. Finding ways to be good and kind and generous, supportive of each other is what it means to be stewards of each other. You all right? Can we do better? Of course we can. Will you promise to try? Come on. Yes, Pastor BJ, we will try. Come on. Yes, Pastor BJ, we will try. Can't believe you actually did that. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for calling us together and calling us to be stewards of one another. Thank you for your marvelous grace that sees us through, for your mercy that forgives us when we fail. Help us, Lord, to be gentle with each other. In your name I pray. Amen.